What is up, everybody? This is Marshall from Limited Resources, and you are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand!
Woohoo!
Brought to you by Good Games Cannington.
Rockingham.
Do you know how many calories in a mouthful of Zendikar? No, neither do we. Nevertheless, listener, if you have a ceaseless hunger for magic, we're here to help. Sigh on or sigh off. Do whatever the hell you feel like. We're here to awaken your inner planeswalker for the next expedition into battle for Zendikar. So rally your friends, converge on your iPod docks, ingest the truth. This landfall is Seven Land Hand. Devoid of puns. Short of devoid. With me today, rarer than a mythic rare hen's tooth, it's Rob Grimsey.
How are we going, guys?
Good. Glad we got through the intro.
Yeah, we're getting
how many
there.
Takes. Yeah.
Perfection takes time.
And also, sitting in the room with us today, we've got Lyle and War. Good God, y'all. What is it good for, Anwar?
Hello, everyone. How you doing?
He's good for stuff.
Yeah.
Don't let the intro fool you. Gentlemen, what's been happening? It's been, Rob, you look like you're dozing off, man.
It's been a week of sets. It's been a busy week of non-magic related tasks, unfortunately. So it's been a bit hectic, but playing some standard, which has been good. The finale to the Theros block in standard.
Oh,
so
yes.
So it's a send-off. It's the last week you've got to play any of your Theros cards. So I've been giving them a run. Yep.
Yeah, I didn't realize it's that kind of October that's coming. The good farewell to older cards.
That's it. Rest in peace, Elspeth. If Elspeth's your girl, this is your last chance to get out there.
We did this with Kian and Aaron Graham. We did our farewell to cards that we loved and loathed. Have you got one that you're teary-eyed over saying farewell to?
It's
got to
be Elspeth for both.
Okay.
Both. It's so good to play and it's so terrible to play against. It's just impossible to beat.
Right.
So that's the one card. I'm going to hate not having it anymore, but I'm going to love not having to play against it. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. Lyle, have you got a card that falls in that category? Either one?
I don't play standard, so none of my cards are leaving.
Yeah.
So, smart man.
Yeah,
smart
it's
man.
Always good for me.
Smart man. All right. Anything else that's been happening, though?
I've been doing lots of metronome exercises.
Metronome exercises.
Which I think is exciting, but I guess other people don't. Yeah.
That
you
excite
know
you?
What it is.
Yeah. Oh. What have you been, what, on the bass?
No.
Hey, Mr. Bassman.
Just on the metronome.
Is that so just what? Like at a gig, if the metronome breaks, you'd be like, guys, I got this.
Don't worry, just
listen out.
You should have that anyway.
What kind of gig have you got where there's just the metronome playing? What, people will sit around and go, wow, it's doing 120 BPM.
He's playing exactly on the metronome. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's freestyle jazz. I just kind of... That was a joke, I'm sorry.
Don't do freestyle. Don't come here and do freestyle jazz jokes. We don't know what
All
you're
right.
doing.
Sorry.
Well, yeah. A lot of attention online about Matt's modern life. Before we get into Battle for Zendikar... Matt's Modern Life.
Ah, yes.
Getting a lot of focus. So actual podcast material now. Ding! This is where it starts. Matt's Modern Life. What's been going on out there?
I saw he came in with his red, white, heroic modern deck. So he turned up, played at one of the modern events, at least one. I don't know about this week.
It's just been week one was last week. Week two this Monday.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. So he surprisingly won a match, which is... far beyond my expectations, to be honest.
Yeah, it's sort of like, 'cause I've played Matt at Magic, and he doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, I've not played against Matt. I just mean the deck, looking at the deck.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, it's fine.
Don't say that, because the guy you beat probably listening.
No, the guy you beat was playing this crazy tree folk tribal deck that actually did really good against everyone else, except couldn't beat Matt's flying heroic dudes, because he just had all little ground tree folk. So he just made his little flying guy, heroic it up a few turns, just flew over and killed the guy. It was pretty good to see.
Have you seen any of this, Lyle? It's quite interesting.
He was playing next to me.
Oh, you were there on
Monday,
doing Busting the Modern. But the Matt's Modern Life, as he's called it, on the Seven Land Hand Facebook page, he's just opened this deck up. He's got the deck list there. Yeah. And each week, I think he's, changing a card or two cards?
Yeah, there was a vote for Nick's Spawn Rollicker to be replaced by something.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think it's
going to
be Monastery Swiftspear.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on seeing a modern deck come together, and I definitely do because... don't know what to do. It's a good thing to follow what Matt's doing. He might end up with a half-decent deck. One of the confusing things that he said off behind the scenes, he sent out a text to the board games crowd saying, how much should I spend on my deck? So how do you answer that? I don't know what your budget is.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywhere between $40 and $2,000.
Yeah.
Just set aside the money that you need for food.
Yeah.
And then whatever's left, just
go into modern.
All right, so we're going to bust the booster in a minute, but right after that it's going to be a topic discussion on Battle for Zendikar, the exciting new set, which I managed to terrify myself of because there's creatures that are 14/14 and cost a zillion mana, and I'm thinking if someone attacks me with 14 hurts coming my way, I've only got 20 life to start with. By the time they've caught that, got that guy on the thing, I'm going to be dead and terrified.
Yeah, there's big boys in Battle for Zendikar. That's no doubt about it.
And land flying everywhere and this whole thing on land and land. Is it going to be all right?
It's going to be amazing. I'm ready to talk me through this. It's going to be great.
All right, well, let's bust the booster. Collect the collective mind of Battle for Zendikar and we'll talk about that. But first of all, Battle for Zendikar, bust the booster.
Buster Booster! Bam, bam, bam,
bam. All right. Oh, man, two guitars.
Yeah.
That was good.
Mine sounded more like a cat.
We're a high-budget organization now. We can afford the second guitar. I mean, we can shell out for it.
I know. That's how far we've come. Yeah, we've come a long way. We've got multiple instruments on our... Hey!
What's
the sound of a BFZ pack. We're about to bust the Battle for Zendikar booster with Ob on the front.
Big Daddy Nixilus.
Big Daddy Nixilus. He's getting busted now, okay? So this is with a view to how you're going to survive Tuesday night drafts. And, all right. You ready, guys?
We're all very experienced at this format as well. Yeah. These are going to be perfect picks, too.
In the break, I mean, I've opened it now. But in the break, we were talking about the odds of getting an expedition.
Yeah.
And what was that, Lyle?
It's about 1 in 200-ish, which is about 0.5%.
So we opened, for stats, we opened 18 boxes, and we got 4 expeditions. So that one fetch land, one shock, and 2 Battle for Zendikar lands.
Those things have got to be ending up... They're going to be worth a fortune,
yeah,
right?
They're going to be hundreds of dollars each.
Yeah. In regular play right now, your Tarmogoyf is the most expensive one that gets regular sort of play.
Yeah, in modern, yeah, 200 bucks.
These cards are going to come in and they're going to be played and going to be worth more than that.
Yeah, they will definitely. But, I mean, these are also... It's a bit different because, like, if you want to play a Steam Vance, you can just buy the $20 Steam Vance.
Sure.
You don't need to buy it. But you can't just buy a $20 Tarmogoyf to play it. So... Yeah, that's the difference a little bit.
Yeah. And Godless Shrines just look sweet. Noah Bradley.
So amazing.
Far out.
The expeditions are just vanity pieces.
I was actually looking at the one we cracked, the Godless Shrine, and I was looking at it thinking, this looks great. And then I was looking at the card thinking, how can I justify spending $200 or $300 on this? No way.
Is it going to be one of those things we should grab them early if they're there?
Or
are they going to be overpriced and come back?
I just don't know enough about it. So hard to tell.
They're going to be expensive for a while. So that's probably not worth speculating much on it, really.
All right, let's go then. We're kicking off Battle for Zendikar Buster Booster with Swell of Growth. 1 in a forest. For an instant, target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn. You may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. Oh, nothing too surprising there except for the land thing, really. I suppose that's in keeping with...
It's very Zendikar-esque. Yeah, it does a thing and something to do with the land, which is pretty much what the whole theme of the set is about.
I think it's a wink to Explore as well. Explore is you can draw a card and then play an additional land for the turn.
Okay. So what sort of cost is that?
Cost the same, yeah.
So it's effectively the same card, except that Explore draws you a random card in your deck, and this draws you a +2/+2 on your creature that you have to use straight away. It's effectively Explore, draw a card, and put a land.
Saying it's the same thing. I'm just saying it's.
I'm saying it is similar. I'm saying I'm not being serious. I'm being serious. Yeah, I think that's that is what it is. Like technically, it is draw a card, put a land into play, but the card you draw is just always the same card. You have
and
to cast it straight away.
Is this already what Zendikar is going to be about? This is going to be getting a crap load of lands out.
Pronto. It looks like everything is kind of a card that does something and tacked on is something to do with the land. So like Awaken is a perfect example where it'll do something and make a land. And this is another example where it's basically just a +2/+2 pump that also happens to jam a land into play. So it's basically like a thing plus some land interaction.
All right, cool. It's not just a green thing.
Not just a green thing.
All right, Mist Intruder is... Oh, he's got the Incan tiling across the top, so I think that means he's Devoid, right? Is that, or is this an Eldrazi? No, he's Eldrazi. Anyway, Mist Intruder is...
Devoid, so those are all the Devoid ones. It's sort of signaling that it's draining like the colour out of the
card. Gotcha.
That's the idea behind the
and it's got some sweet, sweet art that goes behind the text, too. All right, Mist Intruder. One and an island. He's a creature. He's an Eldrazi drone. And he's a 1/2. But he's devoid, so he has no color. He's got flying and he's got ingest, which is whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. All right. While Rob fixes up his microphone.
Shit.
Now, what do we think of this one, guys? A 1/2 flyer with devoid. Is this devoid thing going to be...
it's not purples? There are some cards that care about other devoid cards.
Yeah.
But probably the better part of that card is the ingest.
Yeah.
When it hits a player, they exile a card. There's a lot of cards that do something with your opponent's exiled cards.
Yeah, yeah.
Puts them into their graveyard and has some effect. So it enables that, but I'm not sure how good it is because it's not very good on offense or defense, just in general.
You really need... So this is going for the blue-black ingest mechanic theme. So the idea is that you have these drones that run in with that have ingest. So the drones you send in first... Drop them early, they go and ingest the other guy's library and start building up some food. And then later on you play your Eldrazi processors. So effectively you send your drones out, they gather food for the processors, then you slam the processors that eat the food, or process the food, I guess, and give you some kind of benefit later, which is really neat. So I actually really like this mechanic.
Yeah, but the mechanic is awesome. Yeah, this card's good.
Yeah, this one is maybe not the best one. It splashes into blue-black, and there's a 2-drop in black that's just a 2/2 bear with ingest, which is probably the preferable one, but... Like, if you have a bunch of good processor cards that you get earlier, then these are great.
Yeah, so this is more like setting up for later, isn't it, with your exiled
cards?
It's
a synergy card. Like, if you had no processors in your deck, you would never play this card. Yeah. It's a 1/2 flyer for two. It's not
one of those weeny, like, welcome turns that's just going to fly across and accidentally do 10 points of damage until they find a way of burning it out of the sky or something like that. This guy's going to be gone a long time before.
Yeah,
then.
If it was 2/1, like, welcome turn, it would be insanely
amazing.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, let's throw that one on there. You can start ordering them in a bit. Dutiful Return. A guy doing something horrible to dead people, I think.
Oh,
anyway,
that's a gross one.
Dutiful Return. 3 in a swamp for a sorcery. Return up to 2 target creature cards from your graveyard to your hand. So this is from your graveyard, not exiled cards. Just bringing people back to your hand for 4 mana. Guys,
this one's a reprinted filler card. It's not great.
It's not particular. No. It's not exciting at all, really.
It's kind of designed for the drafts where you don't get enough creatures and then you have to take this late just to sort of be another pseudo creature card.
And you're getting your ass handed to you and all your creature cards are in your graveyard anyway, so you might as well get them back.
But it's not great. Like, it's not really where you want to be at, so we're not picking that.
You don't want to spend 4 mana doing that. Yeah, sure. All right, Blister Pod is 1 forest for a 1/1. It's devoid. When Blister Pod dies, put a 1/1 colorless Eldrazi Scion creature token onto the battlefield. It has sacrifice this creature, add 1 mana to your mana pool. So here we get introduced to this whole getting a million Eldrazi Scions on there, right? And sacking them for mana. For 1 forest, 1/1?
I really like this card, and I think it's not going to be as good as I think it is. But it goes in the particularly the green-black deck, which is the deck that uses all these different sacrifice effects to give you advantages. So, like, there's a card like Bone Splinters, which is... Bone Splinters?
Yeah.
I get it confused with Bone Splitters. Anyway, you sacrifice one of your creatures to kill one of their creatures.
Yeah.
And if you do it to this creature, you're not really losing anything. And there's a bunch of cards like that, and I like this card.
It feels good, right? It's costing you 1 mana. Granted, it's a forest if you want to get super picky for a 1/1, but then when it dies you get another 1/1 back, so that's,
and you can use that to, so you can chump with this and use that to cast your massive Eldrazi later on
and you get more mana, right? So that's 3 levels of value for 1.
It's pretty sweet. It
tell
just
me
depends
why I'm wrong,
you,
Rob.
No, you're right, but it's the same as the Mist Intruder.
I usually get so excited about stuff and Rob's shaking his head.
These are the reasons
why you're wrong.
It's the same boat as the Mist Intruder, where it's very good, but it's like a synergy piece in that deck. So like Lyle's saying, this card's great if you have the black sacrifice payoff cards.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then this card is not amazing. Like, you don't want to just be playing a Doom Traveler in your deck.
You just don't want a 1/1/1.
Yeah, exactly.
1 for a 1/1.
Yeah. Exactly. So you wouldn't play it just like in the blind, but if you have a bunch of sacrifice effects, it's good.
Yeah. Okay. Shatter Skull Recruit is 3/2 mountains for a creature. He's a giant warrior ally. And he's a 4/4. He's got menace, so this creature can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. And then he's a whole bunch of flavor text, which you should probably start reading, fellas.
Mm.
just saying. All right, 5 for a 4/4 with Menace. They've got to gang up to get on top of him. But in a world full of, well, it seems like we've got quite a few weenie cards out there at the moment. There'd be Eldrazi signs everywhere that can jump on top of this guy and chomp. Is this guy a threat? 5 for a 4/4.
This card's fine. Yeah, it's just fine, a fine finisher in red. So it's a common. So you've got common 5-mana 4/4 Menace guy that can close out a game. It's not great, but again, if you're left, like this is, you wouldn't first pick these cards. But if you're kind of at the point late in the draft, you're like, oh shit, I've got like a bunch of 2s and 3s and some really late game stuff, but no real mid game win cons. Then jam this guy and you'll be like super happy with it.
So this is like you burn the crap out of him for 4 or 5 rounds, and then you just need someone to take you down. Because you usually lighten cards by that stage, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're playing a burn deck, this guy comes in and hopefully finishes it for you.
Yeah, it's just a good 4-drop in the sense that like 4-4 for 5. Sorry, 5-drop. Yeah. I mean, like the 4-4 is just a good power on board. Yeah. And it's an evasive threat to finish the game. So yeah, this card's quite good, I think.
Yeah,
it's a decent way to finish the top end off an aggressive deck.
Exactly. And at common, it means like you're likely to get them. So you don't have to really aggressively pick other sort of 5-drops.
I get the sense that Menace isn't going to be as much of evasion in this set because there are going to be so many weenies being created everywhere. So you can do desperation chump blocks with your, even those guys, before you get your Eldrazi scions out.
It also depends on how important those scions are to you to ramp spells. If you only have like 6 lands and you need 8 mana...
You're
probably less likely to throw these guys away.
Sure.
So,
but even if they do jump, like Menace means they've got to put 2 guys under each turn. So they've got like 4 tokens. They can only block 2 turns for that. And like if they're blocking
That's
nothing
pretty
else.
Good.
So,
yeah. All right, cool. Oh my goodness, pronunciation. Felidar Cub? Felidar Club.
Felidar.
He's a Felidar.
Felidar.
He's a nice Felidar. Felidar Club. 1 and a plains for a 2/2. Creature, he's a cat beast, and he's jumping through the air. Sacrifice Felidar Cub. Oh, that's not nice. You get him out there, what can you do for us? Well, we can sacrifice you. Destroy target enchantment. It's one of those. How important are enchantments to us, fellas? Is it worth killing our cats for?
You can imagine this guy's just going, please, don't have any enchantments. He jumps out there. Someone's like, I think I saw an enchantment. He's like, no, it definitely wasn't. It was something else.
Look how graceful I am. Exactly. Oh, someone's got an enchantment. Come here. Right.
This one's good. I mean, it's like Kami of Ancient Lore, if you guys remember that, from an older Kamigawa and Mon Masters.
We're not as old as you, Rob.
See, no, it's rough.
Or it's like,
it's like
Keening Apparition.
Or it's like Keening Apparition
or
as well.
Or it's like Silver Chase Fox.
Okay, so it's after a million things.
Right. But, it's like a 2 for a 2/2.
Yeah, I was just thinking, exactly, it's fine. It's like a bear. You would play this at 2/2 with no abilities.
Traveling Philosopher.
Always, but you would definitely play it.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can just pick up an enchantment, unfortunately there's not that many good enchantments in this format from what I've seen. There's like From Beyond and stuff.
Not that you really need to worry about seeing. Like there's the occasional rare or mythic or whatever, but you don't really...
So you're probably
going to
fill up your deck just with this card purely because it's a 2 for a 2/2, right?
Yeah, exactly. Ignore the rest of his text. This set actually has a fair number of 2-mana 2/2 creatures, 2/1 creatures that do something as well. I think this is one of the worst ones, but it's still fine if you just play it as a 2/2.
And even from the cards we've got so far, they all seem to be like the mana cost.
Yeah.
And the power of toughness.
Which is weird for a set that you go into expecting massive things.
Yeah.
But
okay.
That's how you play good magic.
That's how you play good magic. That's a Lyle Anwar quote right there. We'll put that one front and central on the page. All right. Valakut Invoker. Valakut Invoker.
Valakut
Invoker. 2 and a mountain for a 2/3. So we just busted that theory.
Yeah.
All right. He's a human shaman. And for just the measly 8 colorless mana, Valakut Invoker deals 3 damage to target a creature or player.
Yeah.
That's not good. Eight colorless, Valakut Invoker deals 3 damage
to target a creature or player.
All right. I've had cards like this where you have them sitting and you never attack, but you've got so much mana, you just start spending 8 mana each time just to take 3 out of them, right?
Yep.
Is that what this guy is?
I mean, you're usually, if you're activating that ability, you're either killing your opponent with it or killing some of their creatures off with it.
Yeah, just sending them out, right?
Yeah, it's a little awkward being at 8 mana, but it's also necessary because it's a pretty powerful effect to just do whenever you want.
Is 3 mana going to be a good thing in this? Are you going to be taking down a lot of... 3 damage, yeah. 3 mana.
So if we look at all the cards we've picked at the moment, it basically kills everything here. But also, looking at like the format, there's a lot of like X2s in the format, and like 2/2s. Okay. So having a 2/3 for 3 mana that you can play on turn 3 that stabilizes the board, and then if it doesn't die later on, you can just use it 8 mana thing as a like a finisher or as a removal spell, makes it really good. Like if it was a 2/2 for 3, I think it would be unplayable. But a 2/3, so it like stabilizes against all the 2 drops, is really good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, like on Magic Origins, there's something like, is it Blood Fiend Geist? Or not a Geist, Blood Fiend.
What does it do?
Giant or something like that. He's just, well, it's, what does he do? In my mind, how does he look?
Oh, okay.
He's a black card, and I think he's got like a open rib cage with light coming out of it. And it's for a lot less, but he's a black to, it's like got a black mana cost. Yeah. But then he's got like a red ability, and you can just sit him there and just like...
Nightfire Giant?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, the one that shoots dudes. Yep, that was amazing.
He just sits back and you just keep pinging people off, right?
He was insane, yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
but,
okay.
But five mana was so...
ridiculous back then.
No, like 5 mana is really reasonable.
Yeah.
Right, you can do that just in a draft. 8 mana is a little more like, oh, too many lands here.
You want to be going 8 mana, here comes my bomb, there goes the game, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, 8 mana is kind of like, with an 8 mana ability, this card needs to be playable with no ability pretty much. Like you can't play a card with an 8 mana ability and be like, oh, well, if I get to turn 8 and they've got no interaction for this dude, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
So you've got to say, am I going to play a 2/3 for 3 at common? And like probably yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But the cool, there's 2 cool things about this card. First, that it's an invoker. There's so many invokers in Magic's history.
Right. What does that mean?
It means that they all they're all relatively low cost, and they all have an ability that costs like a billion mana each. Right. So there's one that's like 8 mana, do 5 damage to a player. 8 mana, draw a card or whatever.
8 mana, draw a card. Woo!
But that's cool. It's also a reference to Velikit, the Molten Pinnacle, which is a land in the last time we went to Zendikar.
Oh, okay, so right.
Famous modern land, Velikit. Yes. Lots of guys have been burned to death by Velikit.
So, tip of the hat, hey?
So the card is high on style, if not substance.
That's what we want to pick it on. We want the most stylish cards in our deck.
Yeah, for sure.
So. All right, that's good. Well, that's a new category, stylish cards. Hot garbage. So what I'm learning so far is put the card in your deck for its mana cost and its power and toughness and ignore the rest, or ignore the text.
That's kind of pretty reasonable drafting theory anyway.
There's a name for that. It's called the vanilla test.
Mm. Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's see how this guy copes. Courier Griffin. He's a 3 and a planes for a 2/3 as well. So he's a 2/3, but for 1 extra mana cost. He's a griffin, so he's got flying. When Courier Griffin enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life. Okay. 2/3 in the air, and you get 2 life. Incidentally, let's say.
I like this card a lot. And you're right, it is incidental. There's a strategy in black-white that involves life gain and gaining extra effects off life gain.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it more interesting.
It's good if you can have incidental life gain like this. This is a card you would just play anyway.
Have you got some of the cards on the top of your head that do that sort of thing? Or is it a black-white archetype kind of deal, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of any right now.
I'm trying to think what the payoff cards even are. What are the payoff cards for gaining incremental life? There's some. It's like
it's early days. That's a tough
question. Yeah, like, that's not an archetype.
Pre-release, and I'm going, can you name any card from the set just right now?
I'm trying to think of ones that aren't rare. There's the rare one, which is whenever you gain life, then an opponent loses that much life. But you can't really.
Is that in this set as well? Tainted Remedy or whatever from the last one?
No, it's a creature. It's a 7 mana.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's right. Yep.
It's a bit.
Shockingly, I haven't looked into the black-white life games. The life gain archetype is not really my style.
All right, to bail you out, let's have Benthic Infiltrator. 2 and an island for a creature who's an Eldrazi drone. He's got a brother out there. Guess what? He's the Void. He's a 1/4. He's got Ingest, which is whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles top card of his library. And Benthic Infiltrator cannot be blocked. Makes it easier to do combat damage to a player. All right. What do you think of this guy? He's pretty tough, but pretty powerless.
So this card, so Benthic Infiltrator along with Mist Invader, are the problem I'm going to have. Because my favorite archetype in this format is going to be, at the moment, blue-black Ingest. But, so you've got a lot of really sweet payoff processor cards in blue, and a lot of really sweet Ingest cards. So the guys that actually gain the Ingest for you in black. But all the blue ingest guys suck. So yeah. Right. Mist Invader playing 2 mana for a 1/2 fly is really bad on board. Like, it doesn't affect the board.
Yeah.
And the other guy playing a 1/4 for 3 mana is also not great. Like, they're putting you in really... So these two here.
Yeah. So Benthic Infiltrate is all about making a pile of exiled cards so you can mess with them, right?
Sort of, but you can only play on turn 3 and then it only ingests one guy a turn. So, and you've got to be attacking to do that. So it means you're playing 3 mana for a 1 damage attacker. Because you want to use their ingest mechanic, so you really have to be attacking.
And then most of the payoff cards are only putting one card back anyway. There are some that do 2, right? But they're like...
Yeah, the 2 ones are the best ones, though. Like the counter spells. Of course,
but they're few and far between compared to the 1-card ones. I think it's still fine just to keep your tempo up.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I just want to be playing like the 2/2 black bear that ingests, attack, ingest, and then you're done. And you're sure. It's great.
So are you going to be worried playing this if you've got a pile of... If your opponent's mulching your deck into a pile of exiled cards, are you just waiting for the big bomb to land?
You've got to be waiting. I mean, I think what's going to happen in Limited more often is they're going to start ingesting all your cards and you'll be thinking, shit, what's coming? There's going to be something. Yeah. He's ingested like 10 cards. This is going to be awful. And then the game will end and you'll be like, man, what was your payoff? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't get any. I just have these in my deck.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen. That's going to happen time. So much. That's going to be almost 90%.
All right. Is there any cards in the set to negate the exiled cards? Like to... I mean, where do they go from exiled?
Sorry, all of the ingesters put them... I don't know if this is what you're asking. All of the processors put them from exile back into your graveyard. Is that what you mean?
Oh, so they get cycled through. So they basically go from library to exile, and they go from exile to graveyard. So they get cycled. They get, like, processed through the cycle.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yep.
But, so it's going to be interesting. I'm hoping that I don't have to end up with a deck full of Mist Invaders and Benthic Infiltrators.
But the good thing is that they're probably going to come around.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
If you can pick the payoff cards, then you'll get these mediocre ingesting guys.
Yeah, the thing is that if you're playing an archetype and you don't really want to pick the cards in the archetype, then they're likely to be open because no one else is going to want to pick them either. Yeah. If you're the guy on the archetype and you're not really that high on them, you're probably going to pick them up really late.
It's always like that. It's always a push and shove between...
Mm. Pack one, pick one's probably going to make up your mind whether you're doing it or not anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's see some of these on commons. Let's get some of the action. All right.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're still commoning.
Oh, what? How many do we have?
What are we up to?
4, 8. Okay, we're only on 9.
We're on 9. Is this the 9th one now?
No, we've already done 9.
So. All right. Oh, so there's no foil in here.
No, unfortunately not.
Touch of the Void. He's the Void. Touch of the Void is a 2 and a mountain for a sorcery. Touch of the Void is devoid. Touch of the Void deals 3 damage to target creature or player. If a creature dealt damage this way would die this turn, exile it instead. Okay. And it's got a man who's getting his arm licked and it's going all horrible for him.
Is a man getting looks his like arm licked? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it looks like his forearm's getting exiled, but the rest of him isn't.
Oh, it's very sensual,
And it's an elf. Good. I hate the elves.
Honestly, I have the same problem every time where I've seen the card a million times, but I never, ever...
I only know the art.
Me too.
I just look at the name and look at the text and then I just go to the next card.
I'm terrible with names. I know art and effects. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's like, that picture does this.
Yeah. So I hate it when people do custom proxies. They draw up their own cards and just like, what is that?
So Touch of the Void on the actual positive booster here. Touch of the Void, great spell. Just like a good removal spell in red. 3 mana, 3 damage, exiles creatures, so it deals with random bombs that recur as well.
And you can ingest them afterwards. Sorry, you can process them.
You can process them afterwards. You're saying three damage is going to do you a lot of
Well, 3 damage good. Kills literally every single card that we open except for the Benthic Infiltrator, which you don't care
and
about.
And the big red guy.
And the big red guy, exactly. The five, but having a 3 mana removal not kill the 5-drop is fine.
Because the cool thing about this format is that you can choose whether or not you want to, like... You want to do a short game or a long game? The long game is obviously with the really massive creatures.
Sure.
But I didn't play Rise of the Eldrazi, but they had that problem, right? When it was too slow. So you could only ever do, like, battleship magic.
Yeah, it was interesting. They actually just redid that on Magic Online recently. Yeah. So I didn't actually draft at the time, but I have drafted it now a bunch of times. So.
But the point of cards like this is that you need ways to not die to the people who are being aggressive. And it's like, this card is just really good. It's just it's removal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is about this set that's just got me. It's just made me stop in my tracks it's and go. I don't know how to play Magic anymore because Battle for Zendikar's come out. Because, yeah, it's like, is there a fast format? Can you play a fast deck and win by turn 4 or 5 in this?
Not by turn 4 or 5, but like, no, probably by turn like 6 or 7. Yeah,
6 or 7, right?
It's relatively aggressive.
I was already thinking ahead to our modern chat, which is coming up later, listeners.
We can, yeah. So, like, you can definitely build aggressive decks. It's like red-black aggro. It looks like it's going to be the major like, fast aggro deck.
Yeah.
Just because black has, like we were saying before, reasonably costed just beat down creatures, and then so does red with like cheap removal.
And that's a fun way for new players to play, right? Just going around, going in there, swinging. I'm going to get red and black, bang, bang, bang.
Exactly. You got to know how to build a good aggressive deck, though, because there's lots of defensive cards that slow the board state down as well. So like Lyle was saying, so you got to know.
Yeah.
You can't just go and just grab every creature that looks aggro and try and win, because it's probably not going to work out.
All right, we're up to the uncommons. Yeah. So out of the commons, who's winning the race so far, guys?
Unfortunately, and it's a little boring, but the removal spell.
Yeah, the touch of the void. Like, you 3-mana removal, it would just be... You'd first pick that out of this pack.
Yeah, sure.
So far.
All right, let's see if the uncommons can have some sort of say in this with a Skitter skin. 3 in a swamp for an Eldrazi drone who's a 4/3 for 4-mana. He's devoid. Skitter skin can't block, though. He's got 1 in a swamp to regenerate. Activate this ability only if you control another colorless creature. So there we go. Come a couple of devoids ganging up on you. 4/3, bit of extra power for less mana.
I would really like this card if it could block.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think this card is good if it could block and flew.
Yeah,
I think it's good anyway. I mean, like a 4/3 guy that can be regenerated. That's what I was saying before. But so black red is really where you want to go for aggro.
That's how aggressive is that? You're just swinging in, punching away, and if they kill it, then you just regenerate.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean, you can just play this guy on 4, then untap, and then touch of the void. So you use our cheap black red removal spell, kill their blocker, attack him for 4. It's just really, really good.
Hold back your mana to regenerate him. If they don't kill him, then cast your burn spell and finish someone off or burn him to the face.
This is good because I'm not as excited about picking this card. Obviously, it's really good in the aggressive deck, but if you pick it fairly early and then don't go aggressive, you're probably not playing it at all.
Yeah, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, then you're screwed, because later on you're just going to be staring at him on the battlefield going, I wish he could block.
I like to spend the first couple of picks so that you can go either way.
Yeah.
And this card does not let you play defensively at all, which is the only reason why I don't think it's fantastic.
So if you pick this card early, even though it's just a swamp card, you're sort of saying, I'm playing black-red.
You're either locked into aggro or you're just not playing it.
Yeah. So you play, there's black-white. There's like black-white aggro as well. But the thing is that with drafting...
Oh, white, you can do white aggro with this?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got this two-drop bear. Like, this is already an aggro curve. This two-drop bear that we've opened. And this guy's...
I wouldn't have thought that the bear was aggro, right?
Yeah.
Gets them for 2.
Yeah, it gets them. I've beat a lot of dudes to death with 2/2s for 2 before in drafts. Oh, yeah. So it's the best. Yeah.
Well, I've had, you know, Aaron bleating at me about Traveling Philosopher forever, but that was in Theros when you could he could be the base of the, you know, the Voltron, you know, you could just keep piling enchantments onto it. That cat, so it's going to be a cat, so you want
to
kill it.
I'm always happy to see a 2/2 for 2. Like, I'm happy to pick a 2/2 for 2 in most drafts, basically.
Pretty much.
Okay, so this guy's good, but yeah, narrow. So, okay, what do we got next?
All right, we've got a dead thing on the bottom of the ocean that's making the waves go away. Coastal Discovery, 3 in an island for a sorcery. Draw 2 cards. Oh, and here we go, here's a new mechanic. It's got Awaken 4, and it costs 5 in an island. If you cast this spell for 5 in an island, also put 4+1/+1 counters on target land you control, and it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land. Oh, so you're awakening the land for a crapload of mana.
Mm.
Boy, so if you cast this spell for 5 in an island, so instead of paying 3 in an island to just draw 2 cards, you pay 5 in an island, you get 2 cards, and you do stuff to your land. That's what it's saying, right?
Yeah, that's the one. I like it.
I really like it.
A lot of words on this card, fellas. Well, I mean, if there was...
So if this one, to make it like a bit simpler, if this card was just a 6-drop 4/4 creature that says, when it comes into play, draw 2 cards, it would be...
That's really good. It would be really good.
You're like, this is a great blocker, draw it.
I gotcha.
I don't think, like, 4-mana draw 2 is fine. It just means, like, you can draw... If you basically stall out on lands early, you're stuck on your 4th land... You can burn it early just to divination and to draw some lands.
Yeah.
But you really want to play this as a 6-mana 4/4 that draws you 2 cards. So that's a great creature that you want in any control deck. So
yeah,
I like this card a lot.
All right. And it's blue. That's what I like about it.
I always want to play blue. Yeah. So I really like the Awaken mechanic as well. I think like blue-white Awaken is a very sweet archetype.
Awaken is the mechanic I'm excited about. Mm. So yeah, this is a really good card for that. It's, if you know the card Mull Drifter, it's similar to that.
Yeah.
Like, it can either be a creature or just a spell.
Okay.
And yeah, both modes are fine. Well, one of them's really good. If you make a 4/4, it's really good. And the other cool thing is that all of the awakened spells give the land haste. So
right. You're using it straight away. You're not waiting around.
So if you have 7 lands up, you can make the one that's untapped a creature and then just hit with it straight away. So that's a nice bonus.
Can't you do it on one of the lands that you have got tapped?
You can do it on one of your tapped lands, but then it won't be able to attack.
Because it's already tapped.
It is tapped, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm thinking untap and then attack. No, haste is just using it straight away. All right, our last uncommon is artifact equipment. So I'm already upset.
Well, it's going to be bad. There are
6 artifacts in this set.
Oh. Have they turned it around this set? Because for forever, it's just been artifact. Not interested. Don't even read the card. Just throw it in the bin.
The ramp ones are pretty good. There's a 4 mana cost ramping one. The rest are garbage. Anyway, let's see what this card is.
Let's see what he's got. All right, it's Pathway Arrows. Costs you 1 mana. Colorless, of course. It's an artifact equipment. Equipped creature has, it costs you 2 to equip. Equipped creature has 2 and tap it. This creature deals 1 damage to target creature. If a colorless creature is dealt damage this way, tap it. 2 and tap this. All right.
So it's basically sort of a sideboard card where if you're playing against someone, where you're playing like an aggressive shell, and then you lose game 1 because they just end up playing some huge Eldrazi on you that they've ramped into.
Yeah.
And you can maybe go, okay, I'll sideboard this in. Then I can use like all my little creatures to attack through for early pressure. Then I can play this down, like basically sacrifice one of your attackers, like your smaller guys, to just tap their Eldrazi and then attack through them. So that
sounds perfect in theory there, Rob.
Yeah, well, that's like, the problem is that I'm stretching it a bit because it's pretty loose, this card. I mean, I don't think this is going to be the first pick.
You spent 3 mana just to get it onto a creature, and then you spending another 2 and...
Yeah, and you've got to spend that creature's turn as well. So like, you lose the creature for the turn, and you lose the mana, and you like lose the card that you had to invest into this equipment. So it's not good, basically.
No.
I don't think you should play this card.
Yeah, no. It's not good. Like, the only use I can see for it is, like a sideboard card against like a deck with lots of Eldrazi when you're playing a low-curve aggro deck. That's about the only time.
The coolest thing about this is the arrow that the guy is firing has got a Hedron head.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's how you got to get the Eldrazi. They're only weak to things that look like Hedron. Have you not read the text?
All right. Let's sneak off this. No, the pitch is good. It's a Kev Walker pitcher. I'm usually down on Kev Walker pitchers. Yeah. It's all right. Well done, Kev. Can we make up now? Come on, send me an email. You know my address. We can hug. All right.
So don't worry about that restraining order. It's okay. It's just the law.
Okay, we're up to our rare or mythic rare. I haven't looked at it yet, but it's by Carl Kapinski. I just got his art book through the mail. You know, he did 1,000. The first 1,000 he sold, still got some available. He did an original sketch and a cover of the book.
Oh, very cool. For all 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I know, but you can bang them out pretty quick, I think. So.
Yeah, that's dedication. Good on him.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. All right, Carl Kapinski, what have you done? Have they given you something good? Its cost is 4 and 2 swamps. It's a rare.
An abomination?
It's not. It's a vampire. It's a Ghuldraz Overseer. 4 and 2 swamps for a rare 3/4. It's got flying, and it's got landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, other creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn. If that land is a swamp, those creatures get +2/+0 until end of turn instead.
So I thought...
Okay.
First time I read this card, I thought it said that all of your creatures...
Yeah, isn't that what I said?
Oh, it says all others.
Whenever it doesn't include itself.
Yeah.
Other creatures you control. Yeah.
So I thought it included itself, which made me think that it was really, really good. I think it's still good, but it's... Yeah, I was a little...
What other cards are you going to be playing in black like this, then?
Ones that pump your team? Is this... This one's an ally, is it?
Or is it's just a vampire.
It's just a landfall vampire.
This one's fine. I thought... So there's... Okay, so it's 4 and 2 black. Okay, I think that it was like... 4 total cost.
No, it's
and
6.
2 with 2.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Because there's a really great card called the Abomination that's a, like a 4/3 flyer where you can sack and draw cards, which is actually
awesome.
Looks amazing for standard. So that's what
we didn't
I was
open
thinking.
It.
We did not. So we got Ghuldraz Overseer.
Rares that we could have opened.
So 6 mana, 3/4 flyer that buffs your team. I think you'd definitely pick this in limited. I mean, it's not going to see any waves in constructed, but 6 mana, 3/4 flyer that works as like a pseudo buff is. pretty sweet.
Right. If you're playing the black-red aggro burn deck, you're going to have enough creatures to get effect of that.
Yeah, like that's the kind of deck that you'll play it in. Or even like even a green-black sacrifice deck as a win condition because you play so many Eldrazi Scion-producing things. So
you
effectively just play a bunch of stuff that makes, you know, four or five little tokens. Then you can just jam this guy as like a stabilizing the air on a 3-4, so it blocks in the air while your Scion's blocking the ground, and then you can attack and close it out with
Scion. It's just solid, regardless of archetype. It's just fine.
Yeah, I think I would be... What do you think here, actually? Lyle, give us your... The Lyle first.
Yeah, who
pick.
Are we going with? By the way, we got an Eldrazi token. Oh,
what was our land? Who was our land by?
Sam. Oh, yeah,
they're all so beautiful.
It's Sam Burley. Sam a beautiful Burley full art planes. Look at that.
Oh,
let's first pick that. Just to be happy for
take
the
planes.
Yeah.
All right, Lyle.
Fantastic. Come on, Lyle. Give us your opinion. What are you first picking?
For me, it's between
order.
Yeah, it's between Touch of the Void and Coastal Discovery. I'm just going to ignore the rare.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit lackluster and. Plus, I want to get whoever I'm passing this pack to, I want to get them to play either black or red.
Which you think you can take down the beatdown
haste?
Yeah,
because this pack is pretty stacked for that. Yeah. I would probably pick Coastal Discovery.
Yeah, I would 100% pick the Coastal Discovery. Draw two cards. It's like a Muldrifter. 4/4, draw two cards. Yeah. I mean,
I love playing Muldrifter, and I love hitting people for 4. So
yeah, I would be the same. I mean, I would look at the rare and think that looks kind of sweet, but 6 mana double black, and then you've got a really good uncommon in blue that's splashable. Yeah. Like I think
the card that I want to get back is Coastal Griffin.
Oh.
That's the card that I want to
Courier Griffin
from this pack. What did I say? Coastal.
Courier.
Yeah, I meant Courier Griffin.
Well, I suppose it's an interesting play because if you're at a stage where you play Coastal Discovery, draw two cards. If they do go into a red black burn kind of situation, they're not going to have a lot of cards by then, and all of a sudden you've got tons of options, and they've probably got one one card.
It's about stopping them from killing you in the early game, and then just destroying them in the late game.
Yeah. But it keeps you open as well. Like that card, it's good in Blue White Awaken, but it's just good in everything as well. Like it's just a Muldrifter, it just fits in any deck that plays blue, so it keeps you open too, which is great.
Cool,
sweet.
All right, what are you going with, Rob?
That's the same one.
Totally agree.
I can't not pick Muldrifter.
Yeah,
All right, you guys have gone with the Coastal Discovery. I've gone with Sam Burley's Planes.
Smart. I think that's a good choice.
I think that'll win many games.
That's going to be worth more money, the Planes, actually.
All right.
So,
yeah. We'll blob and we'll come back and talk about Bombs and Dark Horses, which we didn't draw in this deck. All right. Welcome back. So we've busted a booster of Battle for Zendikar. Now we're just to delve into some of the cards that's a bad choice of words, isn't it? Delve. But anyway, delve into the rest of the set.
Pick some cards. Ingest
some. Yeah. Some of the other cards that we're looking for. So which, because considering that in a month's time, Aaron's going to come here and tell us all the blue-white cards that totally rock his world. Which other cards are going to rock your world, Rob?
Which other cards? I'm going to take the claim on the blue-white cards.
The blue-white. All right, let's blue-white.
I'm all about the blue-white.
Let's take that approach.
So I've been playing blue-white control coming to the end of this format, and it's been amazing. And then I was thinking, it doesn't look like there's too many great things coming out in Battle for Zendikar.
Now, what format are you talking about?
I'm talking about standard here. This is standard, right? We're talking standard here.
Yeah.
And then you see, you go, okay, there's a new counter spell. It's the same as the old one. So Scatter to the Winds, just 3 mana, counters a spell. But then it has Awaken as well. So now you can basically start playing these control cards that also give you late game win conditions. So instead of having to play a counter spell in your deck and a creature in your deck, you can just play these counter spells which give you a win condition and removal, which is insane. And then also a Wrath too, which is the same thing. So 5 mana cost Wraths. We used to have End Hostilities, which is quite good in Khans.
Mm.
The new one's come out, which is called... Ruinous something, I don't remember.
it's effectively
the same thing. I think it's not Ruinous Path, that's the removal spell.
Yes,
I forget. Anyway, there's
that's
a that's
the way
out
you can
there.
Go, isn't it? As you go long term and apply magic, it just becomes this card is the same as that card that I know really well from when I started because learned everything about everything.
Well, they have
but it has this twist.
They have all different tropes that they keep on reprinting in different ways.
Yeah.
So that every set doesn't seem completely
Well, if they had to try and sit down and come up with like 300 new cards, whatever, for every single set, it would be insane.
That's probably reason one why I shouldn't be panicked by this set, right?
Yeah.
Because they're all tropes on other previous cards.
Exactly. You'd be like, Courier Griffin, I've never seen this before. And then you're like, wait a second.
I've totally seen that card.
There's a card like that that doesn't gain 2 life in Khans.
I don't know.
Anyway, whatever.
Anyway, all right. Bombs in blue, Rob.
Bombs in blue.
Yeah.
So it's just really the counter spells are the big boys that we're looking at. We've got the counter spells, which are really great. And I think the hidden bomb in blue is actually
the Dark Horse.
Blighted Cataract. The Dark Horse. Is that what
we're
calling it?
That's what we're calling them, yeah.
The Darkest Horse.
Seven land hand exclusive. The Darkest Horse. What's it going to be called?
Blighted Cataract. It's a land.
It's a land. Guys with dodgy eyes on the picture. Yeah.
It's just a land, colorless land. Its ability is that you can pay one blue and six colorless and sack it to draw two cards.
Run that by me again. One blue.
Yep. So it's just sits there, played early. Just a land for one colorless. Just sits there. Doesn't give you any colored sources. Then late game, when you've got seven mana, you can pay six colorless. So it's a five colorless and one blue, but you also have to tap this. So it's effectively seven.
Yeah.
Sack it, draw two cards. So it's like a divination that provides you land early. So I'm trying to play four of these at the start. It's not like, this is not what everyone's doing, obviously.
Nah.
But I think it's really good.
I need to
really
read
good.
That card.
I think it's very, very good for control. It means like, you've got a card that instead of having to play divination, I can just play a land, so I'm more likely to hit my land drops early.
Yeah.
Then late game, when I need to cash in for cards, I can just sack it off, draw two cards, just keep drawing through your deck. I think it's going to be really good. So
you're paying six to draw two cards.
You're paying six, but not a card. So that's the thing. So it's like twice the price of divination, effectively, but it doesn't cost you a card because
it gives
you
a
land early when you need to hit land in control, and also gives you a spell late game when you need gas to draw into it because you've already got land. I think it's going to be good.
Do you need the four though? Do you need?
I'm playing all four. Right. I'm playing all four. I think it's going to be really, really good. I'm trying it.
So in drafting, is that going to be?
I think those cards are going to be really good in draft.
That one. Counter spells are rare, so you're not going to see it very often.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Blighted Lands.
Oh, yeah.
The Spell Lands. Awesome. So the black one's really good as well. The black one...
Okay, hold your horses on that. We'll go over to Lyle for a hot pick and then come back to you, Rob. Right. Yeah, don't blow your whole load
early.
It's too
keen, man. I just can't stop.
Yeah. Think about what you're going
to
say.
Just hold on
and
to
we'll get
excitement.
Back to you. Because you might change your mind by the time we come back.
I don't ever think about what I'm going to say. That's terrible advice.
Right. I'm obviously not as excited as Rob. But yeah,
Fairy Miscreants, man. That's where it's at. It's at Fairy Miscreants. I'm telling you, that's a good card, kids. That's a good card.
There are at least two cards that I'm excited to see reprints of. Well, these two are reprints.
So on board. It's so like, new cards, excited. Reprints. All right.
That's set research. It's like, well, I've seen these two cards before, so I'm going to use these two.
Lock them in.
This is serious.
All right, give us your best one then, Lyle. Right. Which one's number one?
Number one?
Yeah.
Philidar Sovereign.
Oh, yeah.
Philidar Sovereign.
It's a six mana creature for four and white for a 4/6.
Yeah.
And it has vigilance and lifelink.
So that's old. That's some old school values.
Wait for the bit the commander players just
headbutts all day.
4/6 with lifelink.
So at the beginning of your upkeep, if your life total is greater than 40.
Yeah.
At the beginning of your upkeep, you win the game.
Oh, it's just got a win the game condition. All
so
right.
This is like the dudes that sit at home and go like, I just want to gain lots of life and like protect myself and be healthy. These guys are just like, holy shit, now I can play this guy at six mana and just win the game.
And just win. And he gets you there as well because of the life link. And he's huge. So he just bashes forever until you're at 40 life.
Yeah, it's so good. And like
in Commander, you start on 40 life. So he's just in play, you just win the game.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it's been around for a while, obviously, but I'm excited to see if anyone actually picks this card up in Standard.
Yeah,
if it's going to happen.
Yeah, if there can be a deck that's good enough.
Yeah.
There's just not enough good, efficient life gain. That's the problem.
Yeah. I don't play Standard, so I don't really care. Yeah, but it would be exciting.
And did you say earlier on when we were doing Bust the Booster that it was cards that have a life gain effect? Like they get bonuses for that. So this guy's going to fit in alongside those?
I don't know if any of them are really constructed playable.
Like you have to gain a lot of life to get 40 life. It's not like, you can't, you've got to play a lot of these Kuru Griffins that give you two life.
But it doesn't matter if you ever get to the 40 life to win with this card.
It keeps you alive.
If he hits and gets four life back for you, if you get a benefit for gaining that life, then everyone's happy, right?
He also blocks because he has vigilance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's great. The problem is that usually what happens is that you gain a bunch of life, then you play this guy, and they just kill it immediately. And then you're like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck, my sovereign's gone. That's usually what happens.
But that is exciting.
Anything else on that card? No, don't go on to your second one. We've got backwards and forwards.
No, we need a dark horse. I gave two. I gave the dark horse, Blighted Cataract.
Oh, you've already gone dark horse? All right.
We need one as well. What's a dark horse from this
dark
set?
Horse
he's giving you those eyes like, something I haven't done this much research.
Something that might be better than what I think
it is. Well, so we'll operationally define it as something that you really think looks sweet. and like interested in, but has not been like.
You know how?
All right, I do
you know
have how one. Everybody, and I've
like,
one
if you pick like Ulamog, that doesn't count.
No, that's
like,
stupid.
It's you know how everybody hated Fairy Miscreants, but now after months of me saying it's really good, everyone's coming around to the idea.
Now it's the meta. Is Fairy Miscreant meta?
People are building. They got Fairy Miscreant.
I do have a card for that, and it's not. And it's not a reprint. So
yay!
That's exciting.
All right.
It ticks all the boxes. Let's see it.
The card is Drana, Liberator of Malakir.
All right.
And for one black, it's a 2/3 with flying and first strike. And whenever it deals damage to an opponent, each put a +1/+1 counter on each on all of your attacking creatures.
How can that be a dark
horse?
Is it
each other attacking creature, or is it?
I don't
does it include itself? Yeah, I can't remember if it includes itself either.
That sounds amazing.
It does.
And
sound
does it have a picture of someone with like greyish skin, and then they've got red stripes over their face?
I don't know. It's got like a vampire like riding a thing. I think.
Yeah, it's pretty
that's
crazy.
What it looks like. It looks like a vampire chick riding something. I don't know.
Man, that sounds like a great card.
It's actually it's really interesting, but the thing is, like, just a 2/3 fly is not like it's not blown up everywhere. That's not like people are not being like, holy crap, 2/3 fly, it's gonna end the game.
Yeah,
it's easy enough to.
What
kill.
Rarity is it? Then?
It's at rare.
Oh,
rare,
okay.
yeah.
So you're not gonna see,
yeah.
But it is very sweet. Like the allies is gonna be, it's the kind of deck where people are like, is there gonna be an allies? Like, is there enough allies deck? There's a sweet land ally encampment. There's a bunch of cool-looking allies.
It's really good.
There's a sorcery, exactly, like another collected company for allies. So we'll see. I'm hoping it's going to be good, but we just don't know yet.
This is one of those cards that I think is exciting, but ultimately probably isn't great.
It's the rarity that kills it, because you're not going to see enough of me.
No, you're not going to get to play it much.
So, yeah. So if it was... like more likely that you would see it than because a rare you kind of want it to have that game ending quality to it, don't you? You go, right, I can get excited about building my deck around this. That's just like a good utility card. It's gonna, you know, look a bit scary.
I like it a lot, and it's cool as well, because I like cards that teach you about the rules of the game as well.
Okay,
so with this one, it has first strike, so it hits first before your other creatures do, which means they all get the counter before. They do damage to you.
So that was the thing. I literally read the card and I thought, wow, this card would be so good to have first strike. And then I looked after the team, like first strike. I'm like, whoa. So the what that means is like
you have like this epiphanal moment where you're just like, I hate you for. Wait a minute. Everything's messed up.
Yeah, petty just dropped. Yeah, it's all going to happen that turn.
Yeah. So if you attack with like five dudes and this guy, it hits first. Then all the other dudes get bigger. Then they hit. So like it effect happens straight away.
So they were watching him beat the crap out of someone.
And they
go,
like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. They're like, holy shit, that's so fucking cool. It's like, let's do it.
My hero.
Let's get inspired.
Oh, I like that. I like everything about that. Let's open a pack with that in it.
Yeah, definitely. Next That's time. Great. That's a good choice. I like it, Lyle.
All right, boy. All right, Rob. What do you got?
Well, we need more.
Have you got more?
Every blue-white card.
Yeah, all the... I mean, there's...
all the blue-white cards.
One card I think is interesting is Gideon. I don't know about it, though. It's kind of like... it's a card where I've been looking at last night for probably 25 minutes.
That's what people are tuning in for. It's just like, which card do you like the most? Oh, the Planeswalker?
The Planeswalker.
No, but I'm not... it'd be right if I said that. I'm just like, oh, the motherfucking Planeswalker's great. But I'm saying I don't know. I just couldn't decide. I ended up not buying one for Blue-White Control.
We've got hot garbage coming out later on if you want to
drop it. No, this is why it could be amazing. This is why it's an interesting card. It's like, 4-drop guy that doesn't really protect itself, but it can slowly put on pressure... I don't know, but the thing is, with the allies deck we're just talking about, it puts in, so if you know the Gideon card, right? So 2 white, 2 colorless.
I was already confused, but I'm still thinking, how does he transform?
Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you about it then. So Gideon, the new Planeswalker, is 2 white, 2 colorless. So 4-drop, its 0 ability is put a 2/2 white knight ally token into battle on the battlefield.
Right.
So usually what happens is you put it down, 0, put a 2/2 into play.
Yeah.
Then its +1 ability is it turns into a 5/5 indestructible dude that turn to attack. So usually what happens is you play it on turn 4 or whatever, or whenever you play it, 0 it, make a 2/2 guy, and then for the rest of the time you just plus an attack. So it makes a 2/2 and then attacks for 7 every turn after that.
Yeah.
So it's a quick clock, but the fact that it puts an ally into play and not just a 2/2 knight means that all the other ally mechanics in the set get triggered by it. So the ally mechanic is when an ally enters the play, each creature does some certain effect. So now this turn you can have a board of your allies that are in play and then just every turn trigger all of your allies off Gideon. So it's going to be very interesting. So that's a card I'm not too sure about yet.
Do you reckon that 3-mana enchantment is legit in that same guise? The one with...
which one's that?
Landfall. you can put an ally into play or do something else. I don't remember the second.
Oh, potentially. Well, so like that's the thing with allies is like there's so many interesting cards that I don't know if it's
allies
a deck.
Is a deck, yeah, then like, these cards are good.
Exactly. I don't know if it's a deck or not. Yeah. So we'll see.
So this could be a set with a good tribal theme in it.
Yeah, it'll be like a multicolor, like 4 or 5 color ally deck. So
and people always try and make the tribal decks from whatever the set is.
Yeah,
right. Which is cool because it's fun. So
except I hated the elf thing because the card art was just terrible.
Yeah, and I hated that as well.
And then they just got out of hand, and you're looking at some smug git with their ugly deck just with like zillion elf tokens, and you're going, I'm going to lose to this. But that's just me. That's how I went down for me.
That's how I want my opponent to feel every game when I play against him.
Yeah, just disgusted.
Just like, what am I even doing with my life being here anymore?
But you can defeat me with bad art. You just start playing cards. I'm like, why would you play a card with the art like that? It's terrible. It looks
like white
so ugly.
Lands. Like play something from upside down.
Yeah, it's like playing Battle for Zendikar and then going up the front of the shop and just like getting all the old lands.
I'm going to do that.
Are you going to do that?
I have a stack of old whiteboarded corset lands I'm going to use instead.
Just
of
one of one like of right. Each one as well, like yeah. Mismatch. So yeah. 10 swamps.
No, they're feral.
10 different swamps.
It's going to be beautiful.
It looks like the art was done by like Karl Kapinski's child. Yeah. You know, with crayon. And this is like, yeah, that's a planes card. Look, it's white crayon.
Abstract. Yeah. Abstract.
Use your imagination. That's a hill. I mean, a savannah. Or maybe. Just a farm. All right, you got any bombs or dark horses that we need to keep an eye out for, Lyle?
Oh.
Anything we haven't mentioned? Jumped out of the set at you?
Another reprint?
No, you can go for reprints. I'm only being silly. Yeah, why not?
Let's be boring.
No.
I'm excited to see Dragon Master Outcast again.
What does Dragon Master Outcast do?
This is a 1/1 for red.
So for one mountain, you get a 1/1.
Yes.
Brilliant. All right. Done. I bet there's nothing else to this card.
No, that's it. It looks really good on art, though.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, I forgot.
Great art.
Oh, there's more. Hang on.
Sorry, I forgot about the rest of the text. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 6 or more lands in play, you can put a 5/5 dragon into play.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah.
Is that every single upkeep?
Every single
upkeep. But you've got to have 6 lands. So I almost actually play this card.
You don't play it on turn 1, Rob.
What's that?
You don't play it on turn 1 and
yeah,
just like
no, you've got to beat him down. How are you going to kill him? 20-22
yeah,
clock,
beat
mate.
Him down with your 1/1.
Get into play.
Yeah.
So this card has a super awkward drawback in that it needs to be pretty late in the game and he needs to not die. But the effect is exciting.
It's going to be hard to keep him alive, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is like, so this, I almost bought into this card for Origin Standard, actually, with blue-white control. And I was going to play just one splash red for just one Dragon Master Outcast. Because it's really... No, seriously,
red source in your whole...
Because you have fetch lands now, so you only need one. Oh, okay. You actually have 10 sources. So just one Dragon Master Outcast as a win condition, and I don't want to play any other win conditions. And then you can basically play your Dragon Master Outcast, and then if it dies, the blue-white deck plays forward of this card called Ojitai's Command, where one of the options is... You can counter a spell, draw a card, return a guy from your graveyard to your play, or gain 4 life. So what happens
is... It's not just any creature. It has to be a tiny creature.
It has to be cost 2 or less. So what happens, though, is you jam your outcast whenever.
Tick that
box. They kill it. Then they just go to play the next thing. You counter their thing, put your outcast back into play. Yeah. Then you take your turn, make your 5/5 dragon. If they kill it, you just wait till their end step again. Ojitai's Command, turn into play again. Like, start your turn, make another dragon. So... I think it's going to be good, but
it's actually like absurdly efficient as long as it doesn't die.
Yeah, it's just it's just a one mana win condition that's like that you can recur.
In the blue decks, you can do it because you should have a fistful of counter spells. So you can sort of put up a wall because it's the only way you can really stop people from killing it. Because it is for one, it's going to die to any kind.
Well, like the plan, my plan with it was just to let them continually kill it.
And then you just
and then just
it
buy
back
it back all the time.
Splash for some Colligan's Command.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
just buy it back.
Because when is it? When in your upkeep?
In your upkeep. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you have stuff at the end of their turn, they like pass their turn, and then you just use something to instantly return it.
Yeah.
Then you basically get the dragon straight away. So it's
sweet. 5/5 dragon.
So I'm considering still doing. That's one of my options. Yeah.
Definitely do it. I'll be very proud of you.
Yeah, I'm considering
it's
that.
Exciting.
So.
All right, now we're all excited. Should we do some MTG card quiz?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's a quiz.
All right, let's do it, man.
It's a quiz.
MTG card quiz 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's right, Kian. It's from Sesame Street. It's a little shout out to Kian, our friend from this podcast. All right, fellas, it's MTG Card Quiz. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. All right, 3 questions. Although question one could be worth 6 points.
Oh, could 6 point question. Yeah, now I'm in. Now I'm listening. All right, I'll just tune out for a second. But 6 points, mate.
6 points. So we could. All the beans. Six, seven, eight. This quiz could go up to 8 points.
So why is there even a question two and three?
I know. I'm asking myself that already.
Yeah. Right? It's realized as you said.
Yeah. Right. We don't need to do anything else. It's just question one.
Okay,
yeah,
let's hear it.
There are six expedition cards, not including the fetch lands, directly providing a black mana source. Can you name them? So that's just the Jewel and just the Shocklands. Jewel and Shocklands. Six expedition cards. That's right. Those are the cards that none of us will ever own. Because we're all too po.
So wait, were you looking for ones that have black in them or red in them?
Black mana sources. Black. Yeah. You just got that. If you're playing black, you've got to be playing red. You're playing red, you're going to be playing black.
Yeah, you've got to be. That's...
Yeah. So six of them. One of which we've been drooling over the whole thing, podcast, so far. It's probably a giveaway.
It'd be like $1 million, though.
Yeah, ooh, it will be.
I almost wrote the wrong one.
Oh, what are the Battle for Zendikar lands called? Okay.
All right. Okay, you can muse on that as we move forward into question two. Blocks now consist of two sets. What will be the name of the second set in the Battle for Zendikar block?
Oh, crap.
I'm hoping I could get this one through. This one's like getting flavor text for what was that? Oh shit, I've forgotten that card that I got. Oh no, I got I'm even talking.
Rob has to answer
now.
These first, right?
No, take them turns.
Damn.
All right, blocks now consist of two sets. What will be the name of the second set in the Battle for Zendikar block? So we've got Battle for Zendikar now. And a couple months' time, we'll have a second set. And the final set in this block, it has a name. We already know it. Well, some of us do.
The final set of this block?
No, he's rubbing it, is there?
All right. And question three, this is probably the toughest one.
Right.
But, you know, it might be just like a bit of corner knowledge that might be floating around inside your head. What was the development code name for Battle for Zendikar? So the development design team over at Wizards had a name for this set before it was released. So we all didn't know it was going to be Battle for Zendikar. Had a name. What was the development code name for Battle for Zendikar? All right. You ready?
Oh, God.
We're ready to rock.
I knew this one. I listened to the podcast to drive to work every single week. And I knew this one, but I don't right now.
All
right.
Let's see this. Oh, boy. So, all right.
There are six expedition cards, not including the fetch lands, directly providing a black mana source. Can you name them? We'll take it in turns, hey?
All right,
Lyle, what have you got?
Blood Crypt.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, we got Watery Grave as well.
Watery Grave. Okay, Lyle and Rob, they're both correct.
Right. Overgrown Tomb.
Overgrown Tomb. Have you got that one, Rob?
I've got that one as well.
You got that one?
And Godless Shrine.
Godless Shrine. Well, yeah, that's a giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll put you down for that, Lyle. I can take it you got Godless Shrine.
And that was my fourth one.
That was your fourth one. is that to infer that there might not be a five and six coming from your direction?
There might be. I'll pass.
Number four, Rob says.
Mine was Cinder Something is the black red one.
Cinder Something.
What have you got, man?
I started writing Hallowed Fountain and then crossed it out.
Yeah, I don't think that one's black.
Fountain, that was incorrect.
That's not so much black source, is it?
Can we just name any black producing land?
Is that it? Are you both out now?
Yeah, we're both out. We know the four that already existed.
So Watery Grave, tick. Overgrown Tomb, tick. Yep. Godless Shrine, tick. Blood Crypt, tick. That was the black-red one. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, because when you said it initially, I wrote down Blood Crypt. Then I couldn't remember if you said black or red.
You get so excited about writing Blood Crypt right? Of course, we all get that. I write Blood Crypt down just when I'm at work sometimes.
I know, exactly. Yeah. Good times.
We've also got Sunken Hollow.
Oh, I should have done that one, the blue-black one, yeah.
And Smouldering Marsh.
So it wasn't even Cinder Something. Green. I think Cinder Something is the green-red one. Maybe.
Smouldering Marsh got to be black-green, right? Because it sounds black and...
No, there's no black-green one.
Cindering Something is a sweet
The black
name
ones
for a card,
are
though.
Black-blue, which is the sunken, and black-white.
Okay. All right, number two.
No, it's not black-white, I don't even
know. Hey, fellas, it's 4-all. So well, I've already had one question.
I can't even get a point for Cinder Something.
Yeah. You're not getting a point for Cinder Something. No.
I think you got it.
No. All right, blocks now consist of two sets. What will be the name of the second set in the Battle for Zendikar block? Lyle.
I wrote down Zendikar 2 Electric Boogaloo.
That's pretty good. You got
I got Oath of the Gatewatch.
It's Oath of the Gatewatch. Yeah, nailed it.
Damn.
So that's Rob gets a point. Man, Electric Boogaloo. Anytime you get Electric Boogaloo, you're an answer.
I know, it's true. Yeah.
What is the development code name? Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
Another point.
That would be good.
All right, Rob, what do you got? What was the development code name for Battle for Zendikar? What did you put?
Louis? I couldn't remember which one. I couldn't remember which one's
terrible.
They were.
Louis?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come
on, astound us, Lyle.
Do you want...
It's in there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
do you want trivia or do you just want an answer?
Well, give us some trivia. Tell us a trivia story. It might lead you to the answer.
Well, to hide that they had two block paradigms coming up,
yeah,
they named it something that comes in threes, but then split off the last one into a second one.
Oh.
So I think it was original... I don't know if it's this one. I think it's originally Lock, Stock, Barrel, but then it's Lock, Stock, and Barrel Laughs.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Which one was Louis, Huey, and Dewey then?
I think...
Was that the previous one?
I think Innistrad, but that might be just completely off.
No, it was like it's reasonably new set. It might be the Khan's block.
Anyway.
All right, well, MTG Wiki or whatever I was using said that it was called Blood.
Ah.
Does that fit into your three-name paradigm?
That does. That's, yeah, blood it sounds did. Right, though.
You have to find out what the ones before
is it
and
blood,
after.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
All right. Yeah.
I don't know what... No, I don't
that's,
know.
That's not bad. I was trying to figure a way.
That's just a guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like
but
that.
This is the second one, actually, isn't it?
Zendikar?
No, oh, no. So this was the code name for the first one. Yeah. Blood, Sweat, and Tears could be.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. So maybe the next one's Sweat and Tears.
No.
Because
there'd only be one word, wouldn't they?
Yeah. They've got to have. They can
but
only
they
have two
hiding
things.
The two set blood. Thing, right? So they need three banger name. This but is fascinating listening, by the way. As we
let's move on to some content. Get some content on this bitch.
All right, let's go back to some content. What are we going to talk about? Just more Battle for Zendikar.
All right, good.
All right, we're back, and in that break, we decided that Lyle is always correct, and most of the wikis on the internet. Incorrect. Mm. Is that right, guys?
I mean, anyone can change the wiki. How can we trust it?
Yeah,
please don't look it up. If you comment, please comment something else.
What if Lyle changed the wiki? That's what happens then?
I gotta get home quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Quickly. Maybe it was right before and he's changed it to the wrong one so we can have this controversy and the next week he can come back and be like, I told you I was right, guys.
That's all right. Barrel of Laughs. That's what the Battle for Zendikar was called. Lock, Stock, Barrel. Yeah, all right.
That's the one.
All right. So Battle for Zendikar. A lot of modern going on. Is there going to be a big impact from this set on modern?
I'm going to say not a huge impact. This is not going to be like tsunami level impacts that we're seeing around. I think there's a few interesting card sets that are coming out. So the first one, the most obvious one, is the potential for the dual lands. So we've obviously got the dual lands, but you can't really play them in any three color deck in modern because they're all full of shock lands and non-basic lands that don't let you... So you know the mechanic behind the new one is that they're... Battle lands, they come into play untapped only if you have two or more basic lands. So in modern, if you're playing a two-color deck, these could be really, really good in the sense that you can fetch them out, they don't cost you any life against burn, they come into play untapped, so they can be fantastic in two-color decks, but they're not really going to see any impact in any like standard three-color decks that are floating around in modern.
I don't think you'll definitely have, if you play both, you'll definitely have more shock lands just because getting them early is really, really important, but... I don't know. I can see myself playing maybe one or two of the new ones for like a late game fetch.
Yeah,
if
but
you need to do it.
Only really want it in dual color though as well. So it's got to be like a late game fetch in like maybe like black white tokens or something. Or is that even whichever ones they can fit into. But there's it's going to be interesting. So that's one lands. We'll see what happens. I think too slow, but we'll see.
Yeah, the too slow thing. I think that's the article that I was reading on. It was. You need to win by turn 4 or 5. That's why I was talking about that earlier on. Turn 4 or 5, you win. That's the end of the game in modern. A lot of these cards don't seem to be making any kind of
The games might not
win
be over by like turn 5, but it's typically decided
by
turn 5.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's
if you're
leaning towards you winning.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have to basically, if they make some turn 3 big play and you have to fetch a tap land and you can't counter it, do you know what I mean? Or you can't play your own aggressive spell because you have to have a tap land and the game only goes for 4 turns. Then that really costs you. So, you've got to be pretty careful. That's why it's so important in modern to people fetch like their shock lands and take so much damage to untapped lands, just because if you don't do that, you're just so far behind.
Yeah, I think Aaron was talking about one of those last pod where it was just, yeah, it was just taking a ton of damage just to set up your deck. So you're going to take 8-10 points of damage just to set up your winning condition.
Typically, I mean, not all the time, but like the worst starting is when you have to go for a fetch land into a shock land. So you take six straight off of your first two lands. So
yeah,
take three of the first one, three of the second one. So you're on 14 life on turn two already. Like, you've just started the game, you've done nothing, and you're on 14 life. So yeah, it can definitely be painful.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's one, lands. The second option is the allies cards. So that's another one where we just
don't know enough. What did you call this? Bad Slivers deck?
Yeah. Bad Slivers deck, yeah. So we'll see. There's like an allies deck that's being played in Modern at the moment. So like there was a few videos from Ari Lax on Star City about it. Looks really interesting. It did really well with the deck. It's been doing pretty well. So we'll see if anything... This is like, we need to know if it's a real deck first. So we don't know how good the allies are in Standard, whether or not any of those are going to be good enough for Modern, we'll see. But those are the two areas that I think could actually make something happen in Modern.
I don't think it's as robust as other tribal decks, which typically have more permanent buffs to your creatures. Like, if you're playing Merfolk, then you're like, by the time you're winning, your Merfolks are like 3/3s or 4/4s.
Yeah. The same so with just Slivers. For you, what you meaning, so it's just, ally, just because this card is on the battlefield, it's pumping it's your other guys or something's happening.
Yeah, so the ally deck uses most of those cards. So most of the cards are all the ones where when it enters the play, they get a token on them, like a counter. So it actually, like, it's not like the ones like that give you temporary effects.
Yeah,
so it plays like Freeblade. It actually plays the champion as well, the non-ally champion of the parish.
Yeah.
So it plays three of the allies that buff themselves and champion. So they just get enormous. So you end up with board states of like, you know, a bunch of 4/4s and 5/5s and stuff. So it gets huge.
And the cool thing is that now they actually have a land specifically for allies. There's one that taps for any color as long as you use it for an ally. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's an ally encampment. And like, modified color ally land.
And like, keep comparing it to Slivers because Slivers has those tools.
Yeah. So, all right. So for Matt's Modern Life deck, is there going to be anything that's going to come out of Battle for Zendikar he needs to consider?
Actually, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. What do you got in mind?
For his sideboard.
Yeah.
There's a card...
It's not that arrow shooting one over there, is it?
I wish.
No.
Sowing Salt one?
Yeah. There's a card called Sowing Salt, which some people use in modern sideboards. I think it's legit. And it's cost 2 red.
Yeah.
And you exile a land and then search their hand, graveyard, and library for all lands with the same name and get rid of them.
Exile them forever. So you're sowing salt into their land.
Yes. Mm. So they can't grow anymore.
Yeah. That's insane. So hang on. I must have missed a step here.
No,
so
you didn't.
That's incredibly powerful, isn't
so
it?
So it's designed to be stuff like Tron, where they play like their first Tron land.
They need like 3 mines, specific lands.
And then you're just sowing salt and you take all their Urza's mines so they can never have Tron. That's what it's designed for.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a new card that is exactly the same thing, but it costs 3 in a red instead of 2 and red. So it's just easier to cast.
And so it's got to be land with a name. It can't be basic.
It's got to be non-basic.
It has to be a non-basic land. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So you can't just be an island. That would be pretty.
I know. I think that's why the step I had to take.
It would be insane if you could do basic. Yeah,
I'm playing mono red. Not anymore. You're not. Goodbye, mountain.
That'd be pretty good. You can do that, but we're not going to get into that.
All right.
No one wants to hear about my.
We don't want to know your rules, lowering crab man. We're not interested in
your commander
interaction cards, but I don't want to hear about this.
What's wrong with this? I want to hear this now.
Oh, you don't. It's all day we have to listen to this.
Is this a house rule?
Interactions.
No, it's not a house rule.
It's a legit thing you can do.
Yeah. So, all right.
Come on, Rob. What?
So right, let's hear it.
We've got to hear it now, right?
I can't remember the name of the... I know what it does. I don't remember the name of one of the cards.
Good, sweet art. And it does
stuff. You make one of their basic lands a creature.
Right.
Like animate land or whatever. As long as it's a creature.
Yeah.
There's a black card sorcery, 2BB, and it's exile target creature.
Yeah.
And then search their hand and library and graveyard for all creatures with the same name.
Right. Yeah.
So if you do it to one of their basics, you go and get all of their basic lands and just remove them from the game.
I'd just love to see that
very
happen.
Relevant interaction that's going to be coming up a lot, I'm sure.
Well, with your awaken shenanigans, I'm going to be getting your
eyes.
That's
true. That's true.
And then next week when you walk into the store, everyone's like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, pretty much. Story of my EDH playing days.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, man. All right, what have we got? Well, you know, just before we close on this, you know, early days Battle for Zendikar thing, what are we excited about? What do we want to see? What do you want to do? What, you know? Anything else you want to say?
I just want to see the new standard. I'm looking forward to it. I've been playing a bunch recently. It's just great. Like, I want to see the awakened blue-white control, counter spells, wrath that awaken. I'm really keen to see what happens. So I bought all those cards yesterday, went through all the stuff for blue-white, picked it all up yesterday. They're waiting the pre-orders. I'm very excited.
Cool.
I want to see people playing Zarda, Hedron Grinder, which is the card I should have mentioned earlier.
Yes, yeah, that's a good dark horse.
Words that I don't recognize. Give us a dark horse then. What is it?
It's another dark horse.
Yeah.
You can edit this in earlier.
Yeah. Or just use your imagination. Pretend we're earlier.
All right, sure. It's cost 4 mana, 3 and a red for a 3/3 goblin. I don't think he's an ally, is he?
I don't think it's an ally.
Well, that's not relevant.
He's a gobbo. I'm already impressed. Yeah. This is great.
You're on it.
Yeah.
Sweet. So whenever you cast an instant or sorcery that only targets him, you copy that spell for each other creature you control and have to target them with it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if you have that guy and then you, say, kill it with one of your own things, it has to kill all of your own creatures.
Although you wouldn't do that,
right? So they'll burn yourself, deck.
There's a lot of cards that are good on just one creature that are a little less exciting. Like, even something like a Giant Growth, which just gives a creature +3/+3. If you do it on him, your entire team gets +3/+3.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, and if you use a card that like that draws a card and targets him, you get to draw a card for each creature you control. And it's
That's pretty cool. That seems like that could be easily draftable and doable, isn't it?
Well, there's guys thinking about playing that in standard, in mono red goblins. Yeah. So just play a bunch of stuff that makes like 1/1 goblin tokens. So you play like Dragon Fodder on 2 and then Hoarding Outburst on 3. So then you got your 5 goblins.
Yeah.
Then you just basically play this guy and then Titan Strength one of your dudes or whatever similar. Yeah.
Scry like 7.
Yeah.
And then scry 1/7.
Make them just take a million. So usually it's pretty insane.
Yeah.
That so people are, there's a few guys trying to build that deck.
I'm going to be excited to see that happen.
What was that one called?
It was called Zarda, Hedron Grinder.
Oh,
oh. He's all a legend.
He grinds the Hedrons.
Yeah,
that's nice job.
All right.
Someone's got to do it.
It's a hard life.
Let's get out of here and do some flavor text. Flavor text. Flavor text. Flavor text. Flavor text. Flavor text. It's flavor text.
We did it.
You did it. Yeah, that's good. Taste all right. Scores in the big quiz. Lyle 4, Rob 5.
Bring it home, guys.
I should get a point for my interesting trivia piece.
I feel that too.
If ultimately wrong.
But unfortunately, that's all right. The rules prohibit it.
That's the unfortunate part of rules there.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you got to consider this, Lyle. At this stage of the game, going into flavor text, 4 is an impressive score. You know, most times it's 1 or 2.
There's 3 questions and I have 4 points. So
yeah, exactly.
You do the math.
That's it. People at home. Yeah. How good am I? I've got 4 points. Send me 3 questions. Live with it. All right. Here we go. Flavor text. I write out the flavor on a card. You guys write down what the card name is.
All right.
Number 1. Oh, I should tell you what
Is there a theme?
Enormously. There is a theme and it will help enormously.
All right, good.
It is Battle for Zendikar, but it's Battle for Zendikar Mythic Rares. So pretty much, it's mythic a quiz rares. On how many mythic rares do you know?
The flavor text on?
No, you don't even have to. Just do you know 3 that you can write the names down is probably what it's going to come down to.
Let's try it.
Let's see how we go.
All right.
Number 1. This world will be ruled by its rightful sovereigns, not these hideous pretenders. This world will be ruled by its rightful sovereigns, not these hideous pretenders. No, I think I did.
Did you say rares or mythic rares?
Mythic rares.
Right.
As I was writing these out, I did feel like the flavor text gave a hint to the card.
That's good. Let's do it. That's what we want.
I
want the name of the card actually in the flavor text. I want it to be that obvious.
So, number 1, this world will be ruled by its rightful sovereigns, not these hideous pretenders. All right. Number 2, a force as voracious as time itself. Punchy. I like the short ones.
No, it's not.
As the guys reach for the cards that we just busted.
Okay. Cub flavor.
Just to make sure.
A force as voracious as time itself. So, yeah.
Oh, what is that one called?
Oh,
A force as voracious as time itself. Oh, Lyle's hiding his answers.
Yeah. Oh, Get out of here, buddy.
Forget what the name of the... I think I know the card.
If Rob's blanking again, that could be the one that ties it up. All right, you ready? Number three. Number three, BFZ Mythic Rares. I will not live as a slave. If you would be free, then fight alongside me. I will not live as a slave. If you would be free, then fight alongside me.
Does that sound like something Ulamog would say? Or?
Yeah, he's a team player.
Yeah. Come with me on an adventure.
All right. I wonder if there's mind games going on in this room. There's Rob's Maybe. Looking sideways out of his eyes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to... That's my thinking pose.
Okay. Thinking. All right. Well, Lyle seemed confident about number two, so maybe we should kick off with...
Oh, wait, that's all three? We've only got three?
That was three, yeah.
All right.
Did you miss one?
No, well, I just was hoping there was more, you know? I was fired up. I was just getting into it.
All right, Lyle, let's kick off with you because...
With number...
Number one, which is, this world will be ruled by its rightful sovereigns, not these hideous pretenders.
Now, I think it's Felidar Sovereign, but I'm pretty sure that card's rare in this set.
Okay, Felidar Sovereign.
I've gone for the same answer.
Same answer?
Including the, it's a rare in the set?
I think it's a mythic rare in the set.
Alright, so the point will be determined
on... It was previously a mythic rare.
It was previously a mythic rare, yes.
Don't worry, the extra information will just be discarded. But it's not Felidar Sovereign. It's in fact Dragon Master Outcast.
Alright, well I didn't actually read it, so...
That comes over terribly with my accent. Dragon Master Outcast.
Dragon Master.
We're after Dragon Master Outcast.
Oh, that was good.
Ooh.
Smooth.
Anyway, nothing to change the score. Lyle 4, Rob 5. God Rob, damn. What have you got for a force as voracious as time itself?
I think
itself?
It's the 9 mana take an extra turn card. Is it
nope.
Well of Time? No,
I don't think so.
Well of Time.
Although I could be wrong.
I don't know what the name of the card is.
I'm not getting any facial cues over there.
Yeah, that's a key. That's a key. At least you came in with the name of the card. A key in tactic is just to go, oh, that's that 6 mana 5/4 that has vigilance. And, but I don't know the name of the card.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's right, that's the name. I'll put 1 point down for myself for that one.
Lyle, what do you got?
I think this one is Omnath.
Omnath. All right, it is not. This one is Ulamog, the Ceaseless Hunger.
Oh, shit.
He is a force as voracious as time itself. And have you seen that video? Like, there's the preview video for Battle for Zendikar, and Gideon's floating in, this tiny little guy in the fort on this rock, and Ulamog kind of looks around it and looks at him like, is this it?
Yeah.
Is this what I'm going to be afraid of? I love it. It looks cool. All right, no movement. Rob, I will not live as a slave. If you would be free, then fight alongside me.
Draenor?
Draenor.
Yeah, the fact you have to write it down means it's not it.
Lyle, what do you got?
Oh, Draenor's a rare, not even a mythic.
Oh, shit, it's not going well.
I don't know a third mythic.
I knew it would come down to this eventually.
I'm going to say Omnath again.
I was trying to think, okay, so now you've got the answer. Was there any plant text on Gideon? That's what I was trying to remember.
No, because
I thought
it was.
Yeah, that's what
on
I thought.
Because
it sounds like Gideon. Yeah. There's no text, right?
I will not live as a slave. If you could be free, then fight alongside me. Sounds like a liberator, doesn't it?
Khan Liberator?
Draenor or Draenor? Liberator of Malakir?
Oh, we did it!
Rob wins!
I read that one today.
And he twisted the knife with a winning flavor text.
We did it. So that is a mythic rare.
It is a mythic rare.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I thought so as well. Yeah,
there you go, fellas.
Boom! We did it. Oh, nice.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. I thought that was definitely the one. I thought if you don't want to be a slave, you want to be free. Oh,
yeah, liberator. That's what I thought. She's an ally. It's a mythic.
I thought she was a rare.
Yeah.
No. Oh, that's so rough.
Rob 6, Lyle 4.
Slaughter today. It was a slaughterhouse.
Slaughter. You hammered him.
Hot garbage.
Rob Grimsey, hot garbage in Battle for Zendikar.
Gideon, Planeswalker, garbage. Just not thought about it. It's just not good.
Let's come back to it. Lyle Anwar, hot garbage, Battle for Zendikar.
Defiant Bloodlord. It costs way too much and people are going to play it and they shouldn't.
And I don't have one, but I'd like to say Cure, Tentacles, Battle for Zendikar. Come on, Tentacles? I love Tentacles, but not for Battle for Zendikar.
Not like that.
That was hot garbage. Need some twos. Rob, what's going on in the world of Good Games Cannington.
The World of Good Games. The next thing is going to be Battle for Zendikar Games Day. So once you've done your pre-release, you've got all your cards together, you decide what amazing stuff you want to play the 24th and 25th of this month.
Yeah, which is
game day. Well, actually, next month.
Next month, October. Yeah.
Actually, not this month. Not it's not on this weekend.
2015.
Couple of days ago.
24th and 25th. So that's the next one. So you've got a few weeks.
2015.
That's it. Got a few weeks. You can watch the guys playing. Watch some pros around you drafting some sets.
Yeah.
Decide what you want to play. Put your brews together. Come down for games day on the 24th.
What happens on games day? Formats available.
Only standard.
Only standard.
The one format.
No drafting going down.
It is a purist format. This
no modern going on.
Only come if you like standard. If you don't like standard, come anyway. Play some standard.
Yeah. that's good.
That's it. That's the sales pitch. If you like standard, you should definitely come. If you don't, you should come anyway.
Come anyway and get into it.
Exactly. Why not? Like, I don't care what you like. Just come down.
I care what you like. But also tell the wife. No, forget about it. All right. On Matt's Modern Life, it's been going crazy on... let's narrow that down to... On Seven Land Hand's Facebook page. You look for Seven Land Hand, find us on Facebook. Matt's Modern Life. So he's doing that deck we mentioned earlier on, the modern deck. People have been all over it, giving him loads of advice. In fact, he's the sort of guy that's been waiting his whole life just for a decent bit of advice, and he's finally found an avenue for it.
Just please help me, guys.
Yeah. He's been texting me the entire time through this pod, and he's getting aggro that I'm not getting back to him. So I just he knows that we're recording.
Yeah.
This is unprofessional. Anyway.
Just lonely.
So he's up to a stage of, he was looking for that, you know, I mentioned earlier on, he said, here are my choices for replacing Nyxborn Rollicker. And he had Vexing Devil. I'm not going to be able to read that. Vexing Devil, Furnace Scamp, Monastery Swift Spear, or Dragon Master Outcast, recently featured in Flavor Text. Have you know? Anyway, everyone's all over it. We just looked through for someone who might not have been mentioned, so we can give away a Hyper Magic Nerdle badge. Adam Rowlandson. Hello, Adam. He's nominated. Easily the Swift Spear. Vexing Devil seems good on the surface, but giving your opponent a choice is never a good idea. Sounds like solid advice, doesn't it?
He knows what's up, this Adam kid.
Yeah, that comment was followed up by a certain Rob Grimsey.
Oh.
Do you want to fly off the top of your head and back that Swift Spear call up? Or?
I forget what I actually said, but I'm sure it was.
You said, how can you argue with a spear that swift?
Ooh, that's right. Yeah, there you go.
Vexing Devil is only decent in the red-black burn deck that splashes for bump in the night and a few collagens command to rebuy the devil. Otherwise, the opponent giving you the option... Oh, man, this isn't written.
No, I mean, none of the rest is a joke. The rest is explaining.
Otherwise, the opponent
card.
Giving you the option they can play around makes a card worse than it looks. See Browbeat.
Yeah.
Hey, you give people homework here. It's like, I better go.
Exactly. I love Browbeat. I'm always so disappointed when I cast it.
Yeah, it's the classic card of that where, like, it looks insane. Where Browbeat, what are the options again?
You draw three. Our target player draws three cards unless an opponent has five damage.
That's right. So what happens is you're like, oh my god, I get to draw five cards, like, three cards. Or you're like, I get to do five damage and kill them. Except
it's never the one you want.
Yeah. Exactly. That'd be like on five, and you're like, get to draw three cards, but it doesn't do anything. Or
they choose.
So that's the problem with Vexing Devil as well. It's like when it's what you really want the creature, they don't give you the creature, obviously. And when you really want the damage, they give you the creature. So.
Also, Bump in the Night is such a whimsical name for a card in the horror set.
I think it's great.
I love that. I think it's great.
Things that go bump. Yeah. I've got that on my Twitter thing. It's like I'm the thing that went Bump in the Night. That's my Twitter handle.
You dealt three damage?
Yeah, maybe.
Sweet.
I could. On Twitter.
Yeah, it's good.
I could tweet three damage.
So yeah, basically I just went through them and said, so you had Monastery Swift Spear.
Dragon Master, you said Dragon Master Outcast looks sweet as hell, but a 1-1 is unplayable, and not having a board impact beyond that until turn 6 to 10 means the games are usually already decided before it comes online.
So basically, like what I'm saying there is it's a 1-1 for 1, which is you would never play that.
It looks like a 1-drop, but it's not.
Yeah, until you have 6 lands, which is usually between turn like 6 and 10. So that's why I said that. Like that's when you're going to make... Like you're not always going to have 6 lands on turn 6 unless you hit a land drop every turn, right?
And you said that Scamp has the same 1-1 problem as Outcast. No effective board presence. Only works as a lava spike if you're ahead and they have no blockers or removal. You want cards that can be equally effective even if you're losing. That's also solid advice.
Good advice. Well, that guy must know what he's talking about.
Get yourself a Half Magic Nerd badge. Or give one to Adam Rowlandson next time he's in playing more.
Adam, definitely come in. Get a badge, man.
Get a badge, man. All right. Well, that's how the Hyper Magic Nerd badge thing works. You know, you make a comment on the Facebook page. We read it out. You get a badge. And, oh, that's right. The board game show. We'll be back in a fortnight. We're going to be doing... we've started playing Imperial Assault, which was pretty sweet. I was panicked during the rules learning segment of learning games.
Is it one of those really in-depth ones?
We'll get into that in 2 weeks' time on the review.
Oh, so don't spoil it now.
I don't have anything to talk about.
I'm hyped for that.
I do have a Matt McHale who is brilliant at just downloading rules and just going, this is how you play this game. So that's happened and we're getting into it and it was bloody good fun. It was really good, actually. But in the meantime, you can get Arcadia Quest. You can pick up Arcadia Quest at Good Games, Cannington and Rockingham. They've got copies.
I'm sure they do. Good providers all around your area, but definitely good.
We should ring them up before. Yeah, well, Cannington and Rockingham.
I mean, it could be. Yeah. I mean, after this pod goes out, there could be such a rush on the product that it gets sold out quickly. We can't.
Well, the first lot, when? Like, by the time we published the Arcadia Quest, all the ones that were in store for the special already gone.
That's true, yeah.
Because we kept playing it and come out in the store going, this is brilliant! And people panicked and like, oh, okay, I'll buy it now.
So you have to get in quick then.
You have to get in quick. Yeah, that's.
Good hype, guys. We hyped it up.
What's the password? I want one. With the password?
Grom.
Yeah, that's it. Grom, the character from the game Arcadia Quest. Get in there. If Rob's on shift, just if Rob's on shift, just walk up to the counter, yell,
Grom,
right in his face, and then get a discount. What was it? 10% discount on?
It's got to be. Grom sounds like a 10%er.
10% discount.
It does.
Yeah. So
depends on how loud you yell it, but up to 10% off.
Whisper it, amazing. If you were like, if someone walks up to the counter, just comes like right into my ear, it's like, Grom.
Yeah,
I would be like, all right, 10% off, mate.
There's no in between. It's either like, really loud or really sensual.
No mid-range.
No, I won't even notice that.
That's just talking.
Okay. Come on, give me some more. Kate Beckinsale came in and whispered Grom in my ear. I'd be...
uneasy?
No, that'd be 10%.
Oh. Yeah, 10%, mate. You'd be like, I wish I could give you more, but it's only 10%. That's the rules.
Yeah. All right, that's it. We're done. That was Battle for Zeneca. Well, we'll be back magic style in about a month's time. Correcting all of these statements we've made today.
Yeah, now all these wildly uninformed statements we've made. But thanks for listening, guys.
All this hot garbage and dark horse garbage is just probably useless, but we hope it helps you out. So happy Battle for Zendikaring. All right, that's it. That's it. That was Battle for Zendikar. A small introduction to... thanks for coming in, Rob.
Cheers, man. It was great. Loved being here, as
kept
always.
You awake for an hour and a half. That was good. Good quality.
Dedication.
We can all go and sleep at the wheel on the way home. That's all right. Job's done. Podcast is in the can, as they say. And by can, they mean MacBook Pro. Lyle, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, you're welcome. We'll have you back soon, hey? For as soon as you're a Battle Zendikar expert. Or an oath of the gate.
What? He's got an oath of the gate watch.
As soon as Zendikar 2 Electric Bulletproof comes back. Yeah. You've got to
practice, those flame sets.
Rosewater, now you know what to call the next set. That's already agreed. All right, and until then, go into the good games.
Grom.
Go, Grom! Go, Grom! There's a music pack.
Grom.
Grom.
Grom. Do you get 10% for each time you say Grom?
I don't know. I don't think so.
We didn't really clarify that. It's too late now. We'll see what they do with it.
Good night, everybody.